Hello and welcome to the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast, where we come into your ears and go straight to your heart. I am your host, Tyler, this week because Blake sucks a lot. Here with Rob, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I guess it's his knee that sucks a lot, probably, or both knees, or all joints, or 100%. All body parts.
For those of you who don't know, I am running for office this year on the platform of Stop Giving Blake Healthy Ligaments. stop wasting organs on Blake.
That's cadaver organs. Platform.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We can give him the bad ones.
Okay.
The real rundown ones. I mean, like he's like an old beater car. You just throw bad parts at it, and like just cheap bad parts, and they're gonna break again. But like, so is the good ones.
Yeah, it'll get him through another day.
Yeah. Exactly. We just need to stop spending money on him. That's the biggest thing.
Well, it's his money, or I should say his company's money this time, so.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
And did you notice? That's how you get through an intro, by the way, Rob, with, you know, very little bad things happening. So,
well, probably since his mouth is some kind of organ also, or at least muscles are, that, you know, that probably doesn't work as well either.
Well, that's probably true. Yeah. And we all know that everything's controlled by his brain, which just is a mess of its own.
Also an organ.
All right. And that's it for the Shit on Blake podcast. Now on to the Bag Clan Fantasy Football podcast.
There you go.
Not a ton to talk about this week. I know, you know, I'm not even going to play the news and notes bumper because, like, there's just not a lot to talk about.
What, no.
The Jets signed a quarterback in the who cares signing of the week. I mean,
right.
It could affect.
He'll probably play.
Yeah,
he'll
it could affect real life NFL games. Zach Wilson is trash, garbage, and I would never trade a first-round pick for him ever.
I don't know who would.
Yeah, well, back to the Shit on Blake podcast.
No. We were just going to glaze past that like a donut.
No, so the only thing I had for news and notes was, I think the biggest thing to watch this weekend in the NFL is the terrible fight that we're going to have of the 0-4 teams, with the Bears and Broncos facing off and the Panthers and Vikings facing off.
Oh, yeah. Well, somebody's got
to
win.
Three teams about to go 0-4.
Yeah. Yeah. Two will be 0-4 and two will be 1-3.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, Rob. And
but
the big thing to watch here, the Bears hold two of those four picks, the Bears, their own, and the Panthers. So in 15 of the last 21 drafts, and I chose that just because the 2002 draft was when the Texans were the expansion team. I got the number one overall pick just by default. So in 15 of the last 21 drafts, the number one overall pick started 0-4. And these four teams are the only ones that are 0-3. So do you think that one of these four teams, or one of the two teams that loses this week, gets the number one overall pick, or are we going to have an outlier season?
I do think it'll be one of the two teams that go 0-4. I mean, just mathematically, it puts you in the lead for that, obviously.
Right.
And I think there's some redeeming qualities. The Jets might make a run for that.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say is Jets have one win, and that was because Aaron Rodgers played four plays, but whatever. The Cardinals now have one win over the Cowboys, which I wasn't going to bring up, but now we have to.
Gross.
do either of those teams push for the number one pick coming from behind, or one of the winners of this week from 1-3 push to get the number one?
I mean, they all can, but the two losers are going to obviously be, have the lead on it. The Jets could challenge. I don't think Arizona will, because I think Murray comes back sometime mid-year and they win a few of those games that puts them out of that. They'll probably win 4 or 5 in the end. And I think the number one pick's going to win less than that.
All right, three. So time to put your nuts on the table. Who's getting the number one pick after week three?
Didn't Chicago trade their number one pick?
Yeah, so the Panthers have the Panthers pick as well.
Okay.
So they have both their own and the Panthers.
So they have their own first round pick.
Yep.
And then the Panthers.
Correct.
Okay. Right, so that the Panthers could take their quarterback. Jeez. It'll probably be Chicago, and they'll probably screw it up. That's probably why it'll, That'll yeah. probably why it'll happen. It'll be Chicago, and they'll screw it up somehow.
I don't know how you screw up Caleb Williams this year. I mean, even if Justin Fields comes back, I mean, I guess if Justin Fields comes back and shows like redeeming qualities, which he hasn't
shown, then you should win
a couple of games. But
correct.
Even if he does, so like say it's last year where Justin Fields, when he was good, you still lost whatever it was, 12 straight games or 12 straight games up now.
Right. He can be good for fantasy and still be terrible for real life football. Right. Exactly.
Even if he plays well the rest of the year, you don't pass up on Caleb Williams. Like there, half of the league should be tanking for Caleb Williams right now.
Right.
I'm not like he is better right now than a lot of quarterbacks.
And I mean, I hate to say it. I almost. After we lost Trayvon Diggs, the Cowboys being last week, if we blow this game against the Patriots, which very well could happen because so many offensive linemen are hurt, I almost, you know, want like Dak to catch a cold that lasts for 15 games. So he never plays the rest of the year. They only win 2 games and we could take him.
Yeah, good luck with that. The only way the Cowboys are getting that pick is by trading your entire future.
No, I just tank the rest of the year. Dak Prescott gets hurt. And they probably still win 5 games because they're stupid.
Yeah, Cowboys have too much talent. But
Anyway, all right, let's go.
On to injuries. Not a ton, really, this last week. Mike Williams tore his ACL, out for the season. I think that's the biggest one here.
Yeah, so, I agree.
How do you see that impacting the Chargers offense, Rob?
I mean, what it's going to do is it's going to make Keenan Allen like a PPR target monster. I mean, you saw, what did he get, like 18 targets in the game?
18 catches. I think he had 20 targets. 18
catches. Okay, the same difference. That's probably going to continue. You'll see Josh Palmer get some more, but we've seen Josh Palmer and what he is with Mike Williams not there. So it's really going to be the rookie. Johnson, and what can he do? He's going to be the field stretcher, obviously. He's going to have some growing pains like any rookie, but you know, after a few games in and with more playing time, he could be a thing.
Got to get on the field. He just flat out, like, the biggest thing coming in was with Quentin Johnson was he had a ton of talent, but it was pretty much unanimous that if a receiver was going to bust, it was going to be Quentin Johnson because he was raw coming out. Yeah. And I mean, Mike Williams is a good comp for him because that's what Mike Williams was coming out. And we've seen him, struggle to be consistent his entire career.
Right.
And a lot 100%. Of that's due to injuries, but
their coach did come out and say that he's going to be the field stretcher.
Yeah.
So does that mean 2-3 shots a game? Well, if he could beat downfield coverage and get 2 or 3 shots, that might be worth it, as a stab in the dark. You don't want to be starting him all the time, but as a bench player, you could have worse with less upside.
Sure. So moving over to the quarterback position, we saw Derek Carr towards the end of that game get hit hard and fell down on his shoulder. Seemed to avoid severe injury, only an AC joint sprain. It's still going to be more than likely a multi-week injury. IR is on the table, but they haven't made that determination yet. So, Rob, what do you think? A, how long do you think Derek Carr is out for? And B, what does this offense look like with Jameis at the helm?
I think he misses this week. They still haven't ruled him out. I think he misses this week for sure. And I think next week is 50-50. Jameis, I mean, he can't be much worse, to be fair, than Carr has been so far this year. If you thought, Derek Carr with Olave and, some of the young talent they've got on that team, he should be fine. No, he's not been fine. Obviously, from a football standpoint, Jameis is going to throw more picks, more than likely, because he'll take more chances. But they might do better because he's going to take more chances.
So did you see the video? I think it was in week 1. Where, it was one of the NFL films or whatever videos. And it was like Derek Carr talking to his OC. And he's like, he may have been talking to Chris Olave or something. I don't know. But he said something. And he was like, what do you think about the go route? And you just saw Jameis just light up and turn to him and go, yes, Yes. Jameis Winston loves nothing more than just saying, fuck it, and go downfield. Let's see what happens.
Yep. Yes, that was his thing. I mean, that's why the year, was it the last year in Tampa, where he had 30-some touchdowns, but also had like 29, like 29 interceptions. You know, he was great at getting really long touchdowns and also great at throwing really long interceptions.
Yeah. All right, into the concussion hellscape that we're in.
Yeah.
Let's talk about two players that missed week three but are still in concussion protocol, Anthony Richardson and Jaylen Waddle. Rob, do you expect both of them or neither of them to play, or one?
I expect both of them to play. Indy said that Richardson was progressing through. And everywhere I've looked said that they expect him to play. Waddle was supposed to get in a full practice either today or tomorrow, which meant that he would be cleared and off the and through the portal or the concussion protocol, excuse me. So I expect both to be back.
All right. And then three new concussions this last week, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jonathan Mingo, and Gus Edwards. Any concerns with any of them?
With all of them, because it seems so far this year, the people that have gotten concussions have, you know, in years past, you've seen them cleared before the next game. I don't think this year you've seen anybody get cleared before that first game. I think they're being very conservative with it. And I think all those guys will more than likely miss this game. One of them might, but I really doubt it. Garoppolo's the worst, you know, quarterbacks, they're really going to be careful because of the whole Tua thing last year. So I doubt Garoppolo gets cleared. And I don't think Gus Edwards is gonna be, or was it Edwards or Justice Hill?
Gus Edwards. Justice Hill was injured the week before, but okay, is expected back this week.
Okay. So yeah, I don't believe that. Gus has about a 40% chance of playing in my estimation. And who's the last one?
The last one was Jonathan Mingo.
Mingo. That's for Carolina, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I think they'll be safe with him. Depending what happens at quarterback. If the Red Rocket plays again, he really likes going for those vets, and they did a really good job last week throwing the ball.
Hello. Do you want to play a game?
All right, Rob, this week's game is called Trending or Ending, and it's very similar to week one's game of Overreacting or Not. I don't remember what the actual title of that game is, but I'm going to give you some scenarios, and I need you to tell me if this is just a true trend that we need to pay attention to, or if this is not something that we need to pay attention to and it's ending. Make okay sense?
Makes sense.
Beautiful. First one, Kyren Williams will be the bell cow that no one is talking about all year. And to give you some context there, since Cam Akers was, deactivated, he was inactive in week two and then traded for week three. Kyren right. Williams has taken 131 of 135 possible snaps in the Rams backfield.
So will that continue? I mean, it won't continue at that clip because that's an absurd 97-98%, whatever the hell that turns out to be. Yeah, it won't be that high. They'll get some other people in there, but he will continue to be. If you say bell cow is a guy that gets more than 70, was that a fair
percentage? Yeah, I mean, any more, that's about the line.
Yeah, I would say that, yes, he stays above that.
Do you think that he will fall into the old version of the bell cow, which is like, you know, 80-85%?
I mean, he's been there so far. Right. I think they're crazy to do that because he hasn't had that kind of workload, obviously. And if they put that on him too much, he might last 5-6 games and then they have nothing. So I certainly would, if you think he's the guy for the rest of this year, you do kind of want to, you know, spare him a little bit and get somebody in there to take some of the carries. I think they needed somebody to do at least 25% of the workload. Otherwise, they may run him in the ground.
No, I think this is definitely a trend where they like him. And like you said, they probably need to give him a little bit of a breather. But I think this looks more and more after you know, 2 weeks after that initial waiver pickup, looks more and more like a hell of a steal by Nick.
Yeah, and here's the thing. He would have done a lot better last week if they would have been getting, like, pile drive and blitz the whole time.
Right.
Because there were a lot of targets, you can call them targets, thrown his way. But, like barely any of them were catchable because they were just, like, balls that were heaved toward him, you know, to, like, not get sacked.
Well, did I see that the 49ers blitzed the Rams on, like, 82% of snaps? Something like that?
That was egregious.
It was something crazy. All right, yeah. Second one here. This year, Denver is the new Houston when it comes to run defense. Fire up every single running back you can against Denver. And to give you some stats here, after, obviously, the Miami historic performance, so
oh, sure.
We have to take that with, you know, for what it was, what, 90 fantasy points to the running back position?
Right.
The Dolphins are currently averaging or giving up 22 more fantasy points per game to the running back position over the mean.
Did you say the Dolphins or did you mean the Broncos?
The Broncos. Sorry, the Broncos okay, after you. The Dolphins' performance. Number two and three, Chicago is giving up 15 points more than the mean, and Carolina is giving up 11. Obviously, 3 week sample size, but
sure,
certainly looks like that run defense is very porous right now.
And I would say that that's true, and probably will continue. You know, one of your ends there is the former Randy Gregory of Dallas. Well, I mean, I guess formerly of Dallas. I don't think he changed his name, so he's still Randy Gregory.
But the artist formerly known as Randy Gregory.
Right. But the knock on him here was, you know, good pass rusher, could get to the quarterback, but, you know, could not stop the run. He is not a good run-stopping end. So I could see if you just run right at their ends that they probably don't do very well. And they got rid of their good players in the past. Their best defense was their secondary, and that's kind of fallen in disarray here the last 2 years. So they're no longer the Broncos defense that you worry about. They're, like, bad on both sides of the ball now.
Yeah, and their leading tackler, Josie Jewell, now hurt as well. Got a groin injury after last week. I agree. I think that it's pretty safe at this point. I mean, they have Chicago this week, so if Roshan and Khalil Herbert can't get it done, then maybe we reevaluate, but also Chicago's a dumpster fire, so who knows?
Yep.
All right, agreed. Last one that I had. Tajay Spears is officially the running back one for the Titans.
And all right, so
he has outsnapped Derrick Henry 2 out of 3 games so far this year. And one more Derrick Henry stat for you. On average in Derrick Henry's career, he has a broken tackle every 10 attempts. So far this year, Derrick Henry has 51 rushing attempts and has broken 0 tackles.
So here's the funny thing, because when you told me we were going to do this, I had a couple that I wrote down, and mine was the opposite. So mine was going to be, you know, Henry has done poorly pretty much 3 games in a row, except for the second one that he scored a touchdown in. You know, is this a sign of the way it's going to be all year, or is this just, are they going to get back on track? So you came in from the opposite end, that Tajay is the new thing. All right. So you have to look at it one of two ways. Is it just a thing because of who they played, or is this the way that the Titans are going to be? I lean toward this is the way the Titans are going to be, because in the past, Henry had always done well because they stayed in games. Their defense was good enough to keep them close, and Tannehill and company were good enough to move the ball and do things and keep them close along with Henry. Now it seems like none of that is true. Their defense, fine, they stop the run, but they cannot stop the pass at all. You can throw on the Titans all day long, and everybody does. And the rest of their offense seems to be crippled. So all they have is the run, which, fine, we'll stop the run, and then now they're playing from behind, and Tajay has to go in because they've never used Henry as that third down kind of let's catch up back. So I think it continues. If I'm a Henry owner, I'm trying to get the best I can for him right now because I don't think it changes. And if it does, okay, oopsie, you gave up on a 30-year-old running back that maybe next year isn't even playing.
Yeah, so. and also Derrick Henry just eclipsed, what is it? It's like 1,800 NFL carries or something like that, where they
ungodly.
Like, that's the cliff.
Yeah.
Because that normally people hit that right around like their age, whatever, 30, 31 season. And obviously Henry's hitting it a little young because he got like 300 carries a year.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's now hit that. And supposedly, like, I have no idea how good this stat is, but from everything I've seen, it's just like, that's like the cliff. And once you hit that, it's like straight down.
Here's the other quick thing on that is that the reason it hasn't happened before is they've stuck with Henry, even in bad times, because the people they had behind him weren't very good. Tajay's actually looked pretty good. So it's probably the best backup quote that they've had in forever. And I just think that the way that they're playing right now, he's not going to be listed as the starter, but he may as well be.
So the other reason why I think that this is definitely more than just a trend. And like, if I have Derrick Henry nowhere, just because I've been on this.
Neither
Derrick
do I.
Derrick Henry's getting old trade for whatever, 18 months.
I've been on it for like 2-3 years.
Yeah,
but I was wrong the first bit, but
yeah. But listen to their upcoming schedule. And there's literally until week 12, you have exactly one matchup where they are giving up more fantasy points than the mean. Again, low sample size, but Cincinnati, good run D. Indy, about average, but pretty good running. They're terrible. They're pass funnel, so that's why they're so good at running against the run. Baltimore is slightly below average, but ever so slightly. Bye. Atlanta, good against the run. Pittsburgh, not great, but not, you know, good. Tampa Bay, good. Jacksonville, so far, good. And then Carolina, week 12, is finally like your reprieve for the run game.
Yeah, but here's the plus. If somehow Henry hangs around and doesn't get hurt, 15, 16, and 17 is Houston, Seattle, Houston.
Yeah, I mean so that's the thing is like, do you, I can't imagine that anybody that took Henry is going to be playoff bound with Derrick Henry.
See, that's the thing, yeah.
But he could, if he hasn't fallen off that cliff, he could be a league winner. So it's like,
I got one quick one and then we'll go into matchups.
Sure.
My little quick one. I don't have any stats or anything, but you saw, so Dallas wins their, this is of course a Dallas centric one. You saw Dallas win their first game against the Giants, who have proven to be terrible against good teams and good against bad teams or teams without defenses, which is why I think they're going to do very well on Monday night. You know, they won big against the Giants, but didn't do much offensively. They won big against the Jets, but everybody's going to, and they didn't do much offensively. Got beat by Arizona, which should have never happened. Probably are going to get beat by New England. Is Dak Prescott done? Is he done as a passer in this league?
I don't think so. I think Dak is doing exactly what the coaches want him to. Dak's deep throw percentage. I got to find this because I had this somewhere because I was going to talk a little bit about it. I'm not going to be able to find it. Oh, here it is. Dak Prescott. He is only throwing 15 plus yards, 9.8% of the time. The only quarterback lower than that is Anthony Richardson at 6.38. And we saw that he was mainly a runner, though, you know, in his first couple of starts. But when Dak is throwing the ball deep, he's completing at a very high rate. So I think that for Dak, it's just that change in philosophy. I think the biggest thing that I took away from Dallas's loss to Arizona is Arizona's good in the trenches, and that's going to keep them in games, and they'll win a couple that they shouldn't, especially when a team like Dallas has three starting offensive linemen out.
That's where I was going to go with it. Exactly.
And so,
I don't think he's done either. I think it's the offensive line is just so banged up this year. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And so I think that, it's going to rely on your offensive line. And like I said, when you have any team having three offensive line out is going to be bad. Yeah. It just so happened that you did it against what was perceived as the worst team in the league. And their probably best position group is their D-line. So that's not a good combo.
No.
But it was alarming that they weren't able to do anything. So there's kind of a give and take there.
The one thing that has continued is their red zone struggles, and they need to get more creative when they get down there. Use their speed. Use Deuce.
Well, I wonder why. I wonder why when CeeDee Lamb has two red zone targets all year, Pollard I think has one. I think Gallup has two. Meanwhile, fucking Turpin has like four. Not Freiermuth. Fucking Frankfurt.
Ferguson.
No, that guy has like seven. It's like,
yeah, he has way too many.
CD is burning people on these slants, which we talked about a couple of podcasts ago. Like, he's just burning people. Why do you stop doing that in the red zone? That still works in the red zone, just like it does between the 20s. So, anyway.
All right.
On to transactions.
This shit's unbelievable. I check the accounts receivable. It's inconceivable to think that you would fuck with me on the brink of my transactions.
All right, another decent waiver drop this week. Fighting Hedgehogs. I'm starting from the top. I don't give a shit what Blake does. Fighting Hedgehogs drops $40 on Josh Palmer. Followed up by Kegerator with 26 and Backdoor Hot Snakes with 16. I mean, let's ask the question up front. Was that too much?
I mean, he is the one that had Mike Williams, so he had the most to gain from it, you know, because he lost a player. Was it too much? Yeah, by $13. If you'd have known that 26 is going to be the next, it seems a lot for a player that we've seen before in this role who, you know, has some good games, some bad. He's not extraordinary by any stretch of the imagination. So, but he needed him, obviously.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head there where you said we know what Josh Palmer is. And yeah. I don't think Josh Palmer is a 40 fab player, even if he's stepping into an open role, because we've seen him step into an open role before. So that's my only gripe with it. The only thing that, and I haven't even looked at Hedgehog's roster to see if this is the case. If you feel like you can't win the next couple of weeks without sliding Josh Palmer into your roster, fine. Like, I'm always going to take wins instead of fab. So if that's the case, okay. But if you're just getting him as a bench piece to like, oh, let's solidify stuff, then I think that was too much. Going down to number two here, Josh Downs added for $13. I personally think this was a good speculative ad. I had him for $0. Obviously, you know, 13 down to zero is a pretty big jump. But obviously, Blake wanted him. And so, okay, if you think he's going to continue to take the step forward in that offense and be kind of the deep threat to Michael Pittman's, you know, over the middle stuff, fine.
I liked him. My only problem with him is that he's shown this uptick with Richardson being out, and with Richardson coming back, does he get the same looks that he does with Gardner Minshew in there? I don't know that that's the case. So there's a little risk there, but I'm a good player, obviously.
Well, and one thing I think JJ Zacharyson did this study where he looked at the correlation between like zone read offenses, which obviously is what they're running with Anthony Richardson, and wide receivers. And basically it was the number one read in a zone read offense, or the perceived number one receiver is going to be just fine. Everyone else struggles because that becomes then, you know, your two reads are either is the receiver open or hand it off.
Right.
You know, and that's it. And so that Pittman should be just fine. He should get peppered with targets. And like you said, now does Downs fall off now that he's the number two in a offense that is more of that rushing side.
Right.
Going down to you with two pickups, Luke Musgrave for $7. I like that pickup. I know you're struggling a little bit with tight end, aren't you?
Yeah. So, I mean, the big reason, and I hated to give up on Farmuth because, you know, everybody thinks he's the better tight end than the two I have, but I needed upside at tight ends. Freiermuth in three games has a total of 9 targets. If he didn't have 2 touchdowns, he would be hot garbage, which he is, because if he doesn't score a touchdown, he gets you 3 points. So I needed a guy who is at least getting looks, who at least is has a high percentage. I think Freiermuth is like under 10% of targets for the offense.
Sure.
Where at least Musgrave is approaching high teens. So yeah, I was like, fine. I'm not afraid to drop a guy that I drafted to be a guy when he's just not doing it. And I'll be fine if all of a sudden Freiermuth starts doing good, because I think that Pittsburgh offense is much worse than we thought they were going to be after the preseason they had. So yeah, I was fine with Musgrave. And then Quentin Johnston, I went for a guy with huge upside. Josh Reynolds is much to me like Josh Palmer, the two Joshes. You know, he's an okay guy. He got a gooser last week, but he's just going to get the scraps depending on, you know, how much goes the other way. And with two guys being very good in that offense now, because it really looks like Laporta is like the number two guy. That's why I went there with Johnson. So moving on.
No, I think that the way you looked at the Freiermuth versus Musgrave conundrum was a good way to look at it, especially when you were talking about, you know, the 10% of Pittsburgh's off or target share going to Freiermuth, because that's an offense that has had injuries and is relying on guys like Calvin Austin and Allen Robinson. And you would think that, hey, Freiermuth is your second best, third best target, you know, in that offense. And he's what, fifth, something like that. So yeah, I think that's a good one where, or a good way to think about it, where you're going, hey, I would just much rather have in the tight end hellhole that you're in, just give me the guy that's so more bad. Involved. You know?
Right. Exactly.
All right. Well, let's see. Let's hop into matchups.
Go Bulldogs!
Yale Bulldogs!
Wow.
Not so fast!
And before we get into matchups, we do have an ad from Jimmy's Gummy Bears. Rob, go ahead and tell us what Jimmy's Gummy Bears has for us.
Oh, man, Jimmy Gummy Bears are the best. There's this guy, Jimmy, who makes them. I don't know what goes into them, but they're the best gummy bears I ever had. There'd be any gummy bears that you ever saw. Man, when I have Jimmy's Gummy Bears, I swear I see bears. Jimmy Gummy Bears, get them down in the alley. Tell them Jimmy sent you.
All right. Thanks, Rob. Our first matchup today is going to be the Hawaiian Shakas versus the Fantasy Reapers. Oh, it'll just be the two of us talking about it today, Rob. So we're going to have a lot to say about all these matchups.
Oh, we're just going to go. Yeah, we're just going to clean it. Let's do it.
All right. The first one here at quarterback. Shakas are 2-1, by the way, with a projected 135.2 points. And I am the only undefeated team in the league projected 140 points. At quarterback, Shakas is starting Tua at Buffalo versus my Trevor Lawrence versus Atlanta.
I mean, obviously, after the 70 burger that Miami put up last week, you like the Dolphins offense. Buffalo, good defense, especially at home. Atlanta, surprisingly, been a decent defense. This is really pretty even, especially with Lawrence at home. But give me Tua slightly, just because I do believe that they get Waddle back, and I think they have a more dynamic offense.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess I'll talk about my matchup this week as we go, since there's only two of us.
Yeah.
The only thing that I have concerns with Tua is that I think this game, so right now the Bills are kind of a little bit of a run funnel defense, and so is Miami, I believe. Yeah, they both are. And so it's like, is this all of a sudden a game that's just one on the ground, and we see like both teams have 250 yards rushing, and you know, both these quarterbacks finished with like 240 yards passing, but like you're not going to be really happy with them, that sort of thing. But yeah, highest over under the week, you know, that's always good to see when you're starting the quarterback.
Yeah, agreed.
At running backs, Shakas has Jahmyr Gibbs at Green Bay and DeAndre Swift versus Washington. against my Tony Pollard versus New England and Jerome Ford versus Baltimore.
Oh, Tony Pollard, you say?
I do say.
I need to reload because I had Raheem Mostert in my look. So given that, I mean, I do like Pollard at home. It doesn't matter what Dallas has done this year. He's ran well. You know, they got beat on last week, and Pollard still had over 100 yards. Ford, Baltimore has been average, yeah, right, in the teens against the run.
They've been, yeah, right about average.
Yeah, right about average. I guess for me, Swift has been just amazing the last 2 weeks. So I still like him. And I guess it depends on what Gibbs does. Do they use him more? And does Montgomery play Thursday? Have you heard? Is Montgomery looking like he's going to play?
David Montgomery? I don't believe so. I think he's still doubtful.
Okay. I'm going to give the slight edge here to Gibbs and Swift as it sits. Only because, I mean, Ford did really bad on a per carry basis, but he did score. He does have some upside there, but I'm going to lean Gibson Swift right now just because Swift has been like 130 yards plus 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. I'm going to lean the same way just because like you said, if the Cowboys O-line is dinged up, that New England defense is really good. And yeah, they've allowed more rushing yards than they have passing yards, but like, that's just a factor of them playing the Jets and stuff like that. So, you know, how much can you really take from that? At receiver, Shakas has Stephon Diggs versus Miami in that same Buffalo game Buffalo-Miami game that we talked about, and DJ Moore versus Denver against my Devonta Smith versus Washington and Calvin Ridley against Atlanta.
All right, so the premier guy here is Diggs. He gets his no matter what, and Miami's not going to be able to stop him. God, at the beginning of the year, I thought DJ Moore was going to be a thing. If he can't get right, if that whole, offense for Chicago can't get right against Denver, I don't know when they can get right. Ridley had an off game. I do like the stack with Ridley and Lawrence here. And if Ridley bounces back, he should be in a good place. And Devonta Smith, I mean, we saw the first 2 weeks were Devonta Smith weeks. Then last week was A.J. Brown week. So does A.J. Brown continue to get is he that squeaky wheel still?
Well, it's almost like your favorite podcasters called that, right?
Oh, yeah. Did they? Yeah, they did.
Yeah, we did last week. Yeah. We talked ad nauseum.
Yeah, we did. So what happens this week? Does it go back to Devonta? I mean, he's one long bomb. We talked about that earlier, about a guy being one long bomb from, getting back on. They haven't been like they have been they were last year, the Eagles on offense. So, I just don't think Diggs outweighs more. So I'm going to lean a little bit towards Smith and Ridley here, but I think it's really close because I think Diggs is the overall number one. And if DJ Moore shows up at all, they can take it. But because I think he does it, Smith and Ridley by a little bit.
Yeah, I think DJ Moore is borderline unplayable this week if you have anything else to do, because he's going to get the Patrick Surtain treatment, and that's not a good enough offense, nor is he a good enough receiver to overcome that.
If you threw either one of his flex receivers here instead of DJ Moore, I would have given it to Shakas.
Sure. Well, let me tell you, we'll get down to the flex, but there's some interesting stuff to talk about.
All right.
At tight end. Ooh, good tight end matchup. Darren Waller versus Seattle. And Mr. Swift at the Jets.
So you've got to go Mr. Swift. He's getting healthier and healthier after that hyperextension week one. More involved. Got a touchdown last week. Did pretty well. The Jets are a good defense, but unfortunately their offense is so terrible that defense is unplayable, which is why they got dropped. Waller, I think, is getting a little healthier, and Seattle is not a good defense, so they should do pretty well. But I'm still, come on, I'm not going to go Waller over Kelsey, so Mr. Swift.
Yeah, and, even though you said, Jets are a good defense, Seattle's a bad defense, Jets, the one area they've been vulnerable, tight end.
Is tight
Seattle,
end.
The one area where they've been good, tight end. So I'm going to take this Kelsey slightly more than what you would think, just based on the projections and stuff. All right, at flexes, and I want you to talk ad nauseum here because there are problems going on here.
There are lots of problems.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb versus New England for Shakas, and Tyler Lockett at the Giants. And then the Miami running back stack of Mostert and Achan for the Reapers.
Oh, thank you for saying his new pronunciation.
Yep.
Instead of Achan.
Yep.
Achan. Okay, I'm going to start on the wide receiver. So Lockett against the Giants, lock it in. I like that play. CeeDee Lamb. So it depends what we always talk about on this podcast, what New England likes to do. Take away something that you love and make you go elsewhere. If I'm New England, I take away CeeDee Lamb and say, beat me with the rest of your people.
Yeah, beat me with a running game that is short offensive linemen.
Right. I'm happy to give up a $110 to Pollard if you can't if you can pass for only 150 yards because you're throwing underneath to Ferguson and one deep bomb to a guy on the outside, whatever. Then on the other hand, you've got the Miami stack. Now, you talked earlier about this game being maybe more running because Buffalo does give up the run, and we just saw Mostert and Achan go like nutty. Will that continue? I mean, you're putting a lot of eggs in that basket, so it's a risk. Because if that doesn't come to fruition, it could just be Mostert that does something and Achan does nothing. God bless. Just based on what they did last week and the belief that I have, my Cowboy negativity is going to give it to the Miami running backs. Though I would not be surprised to Lamb to get his no matter what, because he's that good of a player. And Dallas might know that that's what they're going to do and move him all around. Give me Lamb and Lockett. I can't be dumb.
Man, I'll tell you what.
But it's closer than it should be.
Yeah,
it's closer
for sure.
It should be.
And so I specifically put these Miami running backs down at the flex together because I wanted to talk about it. Like, what do you do if you have this stack? Because I assume this stack was a pretty popular stack to draft where you're like, I just want the Miami backfield, which is what I did. I just wanted the Miami backfield. So I'm taking both of them. And now it's like, well, Mostert's healthy. Achan is healthy. They're serving the same role. So like, it's not even like you're getting Achan's getting the passing work and Mostert's getting the rushing work. No, I mean, they're doing mainly the same stuff. So it's like, how do you manage that? And, you know, I'm concerned that, you know, obviously last week is never going to happen ever again, maybe in the history of football like that too. Yeah. But like, will only one of these guys be playable at one time or not? Or will I have to play both and just take, you know, if one's going to give me 8 points and the other one's going to give me 21, do I just mesh those together and say, I'm going to get 29 points out of these two spots and that's what I get, you know? Yeah. And
I can see that.
I mean, there are worse ways to do it, but that certainly limits your upside.
All right.
For defenses, we have the Ravens at Cleveland and the Eagles at the Commanders.
That's easy. Eagles at the Commanders. They're not doing well. Their quarterback is showing why he is not good. Let's just put it that way. Cleveland might start to do things, and the Ravens defense hasn't been that great. Honestly. So yeah, give me the Eagles here.
All right. Well, Rob, take us through both of these benches.
All right. So we'll take the Shaka side first. I mean, Chicago hasn't been great at anything. So we already talked about that. DJ Moore should not be in this lineup. You move either Lockett or Lamb up there. And I would definitely put Javonte Williams against Chicago. They haven't been able to do anything. By the way, you could also put Stevenson in against Dallas because look what they just gave up to Arizona on the ground. The most yards they've given up in a half in like since the 60s or something. So that would be it. I would play those, get them in your lineup somehow. And I would toy with, I mean, the Ravens against Cleveland, probably good because Cleveland hasn't been great, but I'd almost take a shot with the Patriots against Dallas. I'd almost take a shot, but that's just me. Now, on your bench, I'm not touching Joe Mixon against Tennessee. We've talked about what Tennessee does to running backs. McLaurin's a play, but it depends if you think Ridley's coming back or not, or bouncing back or not. I'm not taking Marquise Brown. We talked about Spears. You know, he might be worth a play if you decide to split up the Miami backs and you pick one. But God, if you pick the wrong one, then you're like, that's what you were talking about, right?
Right.
So I'm probably sticking with what I got on your side.
Yeah, Mixon honestly never came into the consideration for me this week. That offense looked abysmal, and with going up against Tennessee, like I don't see how it gets any better than 13 points for Mixon. And at that point, I'll just take the shot with the two Miami backs, right. You know? So it just comes down to like, do I play a McLaurin? Do I play a Hollywood and that sort of thing? And yeah, we'll see. So let's see. Rob, why don't you go ahead and give us our first pick on this one?
You know, I mean, the last 2 weeks you were behind. And then you came through with a running back that scored a touchdown, and the receiver you were going up against got hurt or left the game on Monday night 2 weeks in a row. And your guy gets a touchdown, and they don't do anything, and you win by a couple. So you've been lucky 2 weeks in a row, and I believe that luck continues because you've got enough running backs here that any of them could do that exact same thing. So I'm going to take the Reapers.
All right, and I will roll the dice here. Dice are going to take the Reapers as well. I am going to... Boy, this one's tough. There are lots of question marks for two what should be good teams. There are a lot of question marks on both of these teams, especially this week.
Oh, yeah.
I think just with the potential hole that DJ Moore provides for this Shaka's team, if he doesn't replace that, I think I win this, but okay. I think he will replace it. And so I'm going to go Shaka's.
All right. And Blake, he said Shaka's over Reapers. Swift, Diggs, Lamb all have big games this week.
Oh boy. So he's going with Lamb having a big game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am not sure about that one, friend.
Well, we'll see.
We will.
All right.
All right. Our next matchup is the aforementioned Backdoor Hot Snakes at 1-2, 137 point projection versus also 1-2 Scary Terry projected at 141. Backdoor Hot Snakes in that potential shootout we talked about has Josh Allen versus Miami against Scary Terry's Russell Wilson at Chicago.
Yeah. Easy. This is Josh Allen here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Gross. Russ is gross even against a terrible Chicago defense.
Right.
At running back, Blake does have Austin Eckler in here, and I'm sure we'll talk about that.
Right.
Against Vegas and Derrick Henry versus Cincy. Against Scary Terry's Najee Harris at Houston and James Conner at San Francisco.
Woof. I mean, so if Austin Eckler plays, let's assume that, but there's risk in there. If he does, he'll do great against Vegas. We already talked about Henry. You know, What is he going to do? We don't know. Even though Houston's a run funnel, right? You would think Najee Harris, if he's going to have a good game, it's this game. And I detest James Conner against San Francisco. I think he'll be lucky to get 45 yards in this game. So just, God, with Eckler in there not knowing, it's impossible to grade this. Based on what I know, so it could go from it's easy Najee and Connor if Eckler doesn't play, but if he plays, then I got to go Eckler and Henry.
So here's the thing with Eckler. Their bye week is next week. So
right.
I don't know why you rush him back.
Right. I don't either.
So
other than you haven't won a game, right? Or did they win last week?
Yeah, they won against the Vikings.
So they're 1-2.
Right.
Maybe he comes back because if they go 2-2 in the bye,
right,
that's way better than 1-3. So maybe.
But do you really need Austin Eckler against Vegas? I mean, we'll talk about it whenever we see Devontae. Let's go ahead and go to receivers and we'll talk about that game more.
Okay.
For the Hot Snakes, you have Amari Cooper versus Baltimore and Mike Evans at New Orleans against Scary Terry's Devontae Adams at the Chargers, Chris Godwin at New Orleans. So,
oh my God.
Talking about the receivers here, Devontae Adams with the absolute fire game last week.
Yes, but who's his quarterback?
Right. But then you go up against the Chargers, who we've talked about all year as giving up these big plays to receivers. I don't care who the quarterback is. Devontae Adams is a top five receiver play this week.
Should be. Amari Cooper, love him at home against Baltimore. I mean, he's been, you know, he's been on the injury report. He's not for like the first time forever this year, but he's been awesome. I mean, he's been crazy good. And I like Mike Evans a lot, obviously a lot more than Chris Godwin.
Ooh, I have something against that.
Why?
New Orleans always gives Mike Evans the Marshawn Lattimore treatment.
Oh, that's right. And, it is Lattimore.
Lattimore has been decent of shutting Mike Evans down. I think this is a Godwin week, and I think this is easy Adams and Godwin, because I think they're – I
forgot about Lattimore. I forgot about Lattimore. Yeah, you're right. Mike Evans isn't going to get anything over 60, if that. Yeah. Yeah, you got to go Adams-Godwin here. So yeah, I think Cooper is going to have a good game.
Yeah, so far Mike Evans this year has a touchdown every game, but 66 yards, 171 against Chicago, and then 60 against Philly. I'm going to look up after I announce the tight end matchup and let you talk about it. I'm going to look up what the prop is on Mike Evans yards, because I can almost guarantee you I'm taking the under.
Okay.
At tight end, Snakes have George Kittle against Arizona, and Terry has Evan Engram versus Atlanta.
So I'm not sure where Arizona, they always used to be really terrible at tight end. Are they still terrible at tight end?
As of right now, they are like dead middle against tight end.
Dead middle? Okay. I mean, they have been doing very well involving all of the aspects of their offense. Kittle has been healthy and all that. Engram has been one of the more consistent tight ends, which is kind of crazy. You know, he's gotten like 9, 10, 12, something like that the first 3 weeks. So he's been consistent. I don't even know how Atlanta does. So I'm going to just give the edge to Kittle a little bit here, because if I think that it's a bounce back for Ridley, then I think let's go to Engram. So
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go Engram. Right. Atlanta's another one where they are giving up more points to the tight end than usual.
Are they bad at the tight end? All right.
Yep.
It's close for sure.
So the over under on Mike Evans receiving yards right now is 59.5.
Okay.
And we are just going to go ahead and lock in that under.
Lock in the under.
So hot tip for everyone that likes to fade Tyler. Tyler is on the under for the Mike Evans receiving yards. So go ahead and take that and run with it.
Love it.
At tight end, Blake going with the double stack at tight end, Laporta at Green Bay, and newly acquired Josh Downs versus the Rams. Against Scary
the old
Terry.
Flexers.
Yep. Against Scary Terry, Cortland Sutton at Chicago, and Jacoby Myers at the Chargers.
All right. So, I mean, I like Laporta this week. I like him all weeks because he's, like we said, the number two guy. Downs is, you know, a bit of an enigma. I don't know. Chicago's so bad that Sutton might be good this week. And it's bold to play the old Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers stack, but the Chargers are that bad on defense that probably is a thing. And when they've both been healthy, they've both eaten. So given that, I am going to go with the Sutton-Myers group.
I agree completely.
Believe it or not. Yeah.
At defense, Snakes has Cowboys versus New England, and Terry has Steelers at Houston.
I mean, do you believe the first 2 weeks Dallas or the last week's Dallas defense? I guess until they show that their defense wasn't just Trayvon Diggs and that's it, and that's why they were so good, or that they were playing two terrible teams from the state of New York, I'm going to go Steelers against Houston. Even though Houston's been playing terrific, but I think the Steelers will make them super one-dimensional because they can't run the ball. And I think Watt can get to the quarterback. And I think, isn't he hobbled a little bit this week? CJ.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think he was like limited in practice due to an ankle or some baloney. Yeah, just give me the Steelers. It should be the Cowboys, but they got to prove it to me.
Yep, I agree. All right. Let's see. I'll take Blake's bench here and let you take Scary Terry. So Blake's bench, there's not a ton. I mean, you do have Breece Hall down here against Kansas City, but he's been largely ineffective. And Kansas City's defense is really good this year. So
really
far.
Good.
Hopkins against Cincinnati, I got to think that he's going to find his way into this lineup, even though Cincinnati's pretty good against receivers. I just think that, you know, rather than playing two tight ends and Josh Downs, that Hopkins is going to find his way in. You know, Drake London, I mean, you're playing the roulette game with Atlanta or the, you know, the spinning dart of who's going to get picked. But other than that, there's not a ton here that I would do. I mean, if you think that Najee's going to be ineffective, you could go Jalen Warren for just a safe, like 10 points.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I think
and
Warren
Romeo has been the touchdown guy for Green Bay. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think you got a couple of options here for,
I would do something in that Josh Downs spot. I don't know that I would play him.
Yeah.
I guess it really depends on who plays quarterback. Right.
And I just loathe the tight end stack in our league because the likelihood that your tight end is going to go over 100 yards on any given week, if your tight end isn't named Travis Kelce, is so low that I would just much rather have the shot that one of these receivers goes over 100, you know, versus a tight end is almost never going to do it.
Yeah. I believe that he's going to be putting Warren in where Eckler is before the week's over. I just think they're going to be smart and not play him, and that's what's going to happen. So,
all right, let's go Scary Terry's bench.
So obviously he's playing Russell because of the upside and Joe Burrow. You know, we saw what he was, even though, you know, he threw to his best receiver for over 100 yards. He himself did not do well. You're skipping the rest of all these guys. Zay Jones isn't going to play. Rashid Rice, Zach Ertz, Tyler Boyd. Oh, my God. This is a really gross bench. He's playing his best lineup. No wonder he's playing Connor against San Francisco because he has to. It is what it is.
All right. Who did Blake pick? Let's start with Blake on this one.
Blake says Scary Terry over Snakes. I may take it if Eckler plays.
All right. I am also going to go. I'm also going to go Scary Terry. I think honestly, the double stack of Vegas receivers is a good play this week. Even if Brian Hoyer is the starter, I think he, you know, has enough to get it done. And then, like we said, I think Godwin outpaces Mike Evans this week. And the dice will take Scary Terry as well. So Rob, are you going to make it a clean sweep?
I will not. I will take the Snakes because the Snakes have options. We already saw Terry is locked into what he is. He can't really do much else. Blake can replace Eckler with, I think, a better player that when he's not going to play. I don't think he's going to stick with Josh Downs. And I think that brings it up to where he can compete in this matchup. And I'm going to have faith in the Snakes.
All right. Our next matchup is the 2-1 Fly Eagles Fly at 144 point projection. Versus the 1-2, the bad luck Iowa Corn Wieners, top in the league in points scored, but has only won one game so far. And he had to score 220 to do it with 144 point projection as well. So very close matchup. Rob, I will let you take this one away and I will commentate on this one while you announce the matchups for me.
Okay. So at quarterback, we've got Daniel Jones on Monday night, home against Seattle. And Patrick Mahomes on the road Sunday night against the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I do like Danny Dimes this week in particular against Seattle. Like we said, you know, I think they're going to be able to move the ball. But it's Patrick Mahomes. I don't care if it's the Jets. They're good enough. And like we said, the Jets are not great against tight end. And guess where the Chiefs want to go with the ball? So, yeah, give me Patty.
Tight end. Yeah, I put Danny Dimes, just like you said, that he was terrible week one, really good week two, terrible week three. I think he'll be good week four. I just don't like Lamar, I'm sorry, against that Cleveland defense, which has been just amazing. And they just haven't been clicking on offense there. And Jones still has that running upside. So I think Jones is the better play for me. So
yeah, no, I like that. I like that choice.
All right, at running back, for Flagless Fly, we got Christian McCaffrey at home against Arizona and Ken Walker the third at the Giants in that same Monday night game versus Rashid White at New Orleans and Matt Breida again in that same game against Seattle.
Well, I'll tell you what. I do not like Kenneth Walker against the Giants. Giants are more of a pass funnel defense this year. We've seen plenty of teams pass all over them. But at the end of the day, one team has Christian McCaffrey. Nobody else does. Give me Christian McCaffrey by himself against the rest of these. You know, Matt Breida, fine. Like I said, I think the Giants are going to be fine, but, you know, I prefer their passing options than Matt Breida. Rashad White, you know, I don't know. I think that's going to be a lower scoring game. This feels like a, I don't know, 16-13 game, something like that. And so it's like, yeah. Well, if you're only going to get one touchdown, do you think that Rashad White's going to get it? Probably not. So yeah, easy McCaffrey and Walker.
Yeah. My only change would be if somehow Aaron Jones is cleared, he might go in instead of Walker.
Well, they have some optimism and I would definitely do that.
Yeah. But right now, Walker's in, but yeah, I could make that change. At wide receiver, AJ Brown at home against the Commanders. Right now, Puka Nacua at the Colts, and for the Corn Wieners, all by himself, Keenan Allen against Vegas, and Michael Pittman against the Rams.
Oh boy! Well, like we said, if Richardson is back, I think that gives Pittman a little boost, and I actually didn't look at what he did last week. Okay, so he was 9 for 77, so he stayed about the same. I think he is kind of what he is.
He's gonna have that, like, you know, eight catches, 70 yards, something around there,
right? And Keenan Allen, we've already seen he's an absolute monster. You know, AJ Brown, I think it comes down to whether or not that squeaky wheel continues, but Puka Nacua is gonna beast against Indy. I think this is probably the highest scoring matchup we'll have this week. And I just don't know how to call it, because any of these four guys could go over 100. There are a few of these guys, like Keenan Allen, we saw last week, go over 200, you know, or there's multiple options of two touchdowns. I think as it stands right now, I just think that Allen and Pittman are just a hair ahead. But it would not surprise me for it to go either way.
Yeah, I will give the edge to Allen and Pittman just because A.J. Brown is obviously good enough to do as well as any of them, but it's, will the game go that way?
Right.
Will it Devontae Smith get the long play down the field instead of A.J. Brown? There's more chance of that happening to A.J. Brown than that happening to Keenan Allen and Pittman.
A.J. Brown
somehow...
A.J. Brown Clinton has more Johnson competition. Yes. A.J. Brown has more competition in one player on his team than all the rest of these guys do combined.
Correct. Yeah, so I will give the edge to them. But like you said, if it went the other way, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
All right. At tight end, in that Thursday night game against Detroit, we got Luke Musgrave. And then we got T.J. Hockenson playing at Carolina.
Yeah, no, T.J. Hockenson has taken the next step. We have to think of him now as the number two tight end overall behind Kelsey. So this is Hockenson easy.
Yeah, 100% Hockenson easy. Though Musgrave has a big plus matchup against Detroit because they're very weak against the tight end. I believe that Green Bay is missing a few linemen again this week. So there may be some quick passes to the tight end. But yeah, it's Hock for sure.
Yep.
In the flex, we got Jalen Waddle, who, like we said, should be in that big shootout, assuming he clears concussion protocol tomorrow. And Zach Moss, who's just getting 30 carries a game here, against T. Higgins at Tennessee and Nico Collins at home against Pittsburgh.
All right, so let's talk about T. Higgins, because this has been one of the most disappointing players on the year this year. But when you look at the underlying metrics, he looks like one of the top guys to come and break out here. I mean, he's gotten, week one and week three, had a combined 16 targets with two receptions. Like, that's stupid. That never happens. And yeah, he's had a couple of drops. But against a Tennessee pass funnel defense, I think him and Chase are going to just 8 this week. Nico Collins is starting to take a back seat to Tank Dell, so I do have some concerns there. That trend was just fell off the end of my trending or ending. So I do have concerns there that he has given up that role and isn't going to get it back. Jalen Waddle, we know what he is. Zach Moss, we know what he is, but what he is right now is pretty dang good.
Yeah.
Give me Waddle and Moss as it stands right now.
Yeah. If Waddle plays and it's cleared tomorrow, I would go Waddle and Moss as well. Just because Higgins could have another 3-for-24 type game. And like you said, Collins was Tank Dell is just like, he's the Puka Nacua of, of the Texans. So, all right. At defense, we got the Chiefs against the poor Jets and the Saints against Tampa Bay at home.
Move on.
Yeah. Okay. Done. When we did you, have me go through both benches? So you want to go through both benches?
So I'll go through both benches here. So we already talked about Aaron Jones against Detroit. I think if he's in, I think you're playing him over Kenneth Walker. Even though I don't think Detroit's the best matchup against running backs. They're really good against running backs. They're the worst matchup against running backs, actually.
Yeah.
So that stinks. Woof. I mean, Aaron Jones is just such a big piece of that offense, though, even in the passing game. We've seen that hasn't taken a step back. So, I don't know. I'd still think I'd play him over Kenneth Walker. We talked about Lamar. Miles Sanders, I don't think you're playing him against Minnesota. I think he's been, kind of disappointing for a guy that you thought could take that next step into like that bell cow territory, getting 9 carries last week. That's gross. Yeah. Let's see. I mean, Zay Flowers is always going to be in consideration after the big week 1, but I think he's just kind of, going to be around that 10-point mark. So if you need safety, same thing with Elijah Moore. And then Hunter Henry, Dallas has been really good against tight ends this year, so I don't blame you for not playing him. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, Zay Flowers, Elijah Moore, if you decide you want some safety in there, or if, Jalen Waddle doesn't play or something like that.
Right.
They're
if he doesn't play and Ayuk is cleared, I probably swap those two or something like that. Right. So.
But you're playing against what has been the best team in the league so far. I know it's not that by record, but by points, by far the best team. So I wouldn't be playing it safe here. I'd be shooting for the moon. On the Iowa Corn Wieners bench, Jordan Addison continues to trend upward, which I do like. He first week without scoring, but also his highest target week last week. I think he is very solidly the Minnesota's wide receiver too. I don't know if he's going to, quite in that safe wide receiver 2 category yet, or if he's still wide receiver 3. But with Hockenson in there, I don't love doubling up there. Let's see. As we move down, no chance you're playing Singletary. I don't know why he's on the roster. Tutu Atwell has looked good. And against that Indy secondary, I would definitely be playing him over Nico Collins. And I think that's the only thing. I think I'm putting Tutu in over Nico Collins. And if you can replace a running back, I mean, I don't think you're going to play Samaje Perine. He hasn't been good. You're not playing Singletary. So I think you're stuck with the running backs you have. So I think you move a 2-2 in for Nico and you move on.
All right.
So let's see. I think it's my turn to pick first. Oh, boy. I'll tell you what. This is a tough one to pick. I'm going to go with the Wieners to get off the tough luck Schneid here and to rattle off a few wins in a row. But I'm certainly not going to be surprised if this is another matchup, just like ours was last week, where it's 160 to 157. And like you said, it flips on Monday night. That would not surprise me at all. For the Dice, they are going to go also with the Wieners. And Rob, it's over to you.
I'm also going to go with the Wieners, just because I really have to have certain people hit. And to me, the big one is Keenan Allen. He could easily approach 200 yards again. And then let's see. Blake is taking the Wieners, but I hate it. I just have them winning more positions.
All right. All right. So
is that queen sweep for the Wieners?
That is a queen sweep.
Oh, that bodes well for me.
All right. Our fourth matchup today is between the Abysmal, the Putrid, the 0-3 Here's Tubby, projected at 138 points, versus the 2-1 Cut My Teabags, projected at 143. At quarterback, Here's Tubby is starting Jimmy Garoppolo Jr., I mean Brock Purdy, versus Arizona against Justin Fields versus Denver.
Oh, my. You know, believe it or not, oh God. I mean, I said earlier, if Fields doesn't do it this game, he's not going to. But you just have to go with the steadiness of Brock Purdy here for whatever reason. We've seen Justin Fields just not do well, and Brock Purdy could easily put up against this team, you know, 285 and three touchdowns, which would be what Fields has done.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Fields should get it done this game. Like,
should.
If he does not, it is like, I know it's already panic time in Chicago, but if they try to say, hey, Fields, you're still a pocket passer against fucking Denver, dude, blow it up. But yeah, as it stands now, give me Purdy, but it would not surprise me for Fields to take this one. At running back, Here's Tubby has Josh Jacobs at the Chargers and Travis Etienne versus Atlanta against Brian Robinson at Philly and Kyren Williams at Indy.
Oh my God. So this is a gross matchup all the way around. You've got Etienne, who has been pretty good against Atlanta, who we've already talked about is pretty good against the run. Josh Jacobs, who has been abysmal so far this year. He has shown why holding out until the final week of preseason is never a good thing for a running back. However, they're playing the Chargers. He should be able to, I would think by game four, you should get your crap together. And we might see some of, he started off really shitty last year, the first three games, and then had, you know, was the best running back. So I'm going to take Jacobs and ETN over Robinson, who I don't like against that Philly front four. Kyren Williams will do better than he did last week, but give me Jacobs and ETN.
Brian Robinson should be in zero lineups this week. Zero. Yeah. It's not going to be good. At receiver, we have Ja'Marr Chase at Tennessee, and Christian Watson versus Detroit should be playing coming off that hamstring injury.
Yeah.
Versus Tyreek Hill at Buffalo and Debo versus Arizona.
God. So this one right here all comes down to Debo. If Debo plays, I like Hill and Debo more than I like Chase and Watson. So he did get a rib injury in the Thursday game against the Giants, but right now, all indications are that he's going to play, that he's not going to miss. So I got to go Hill and Debo here, even though I do like Chase and Watson. I think Watson gets loose for one deep. He'll open that offense up a little bit for Green Bay, but give me Hill and Debo.
Yep. I think this is another one where it wouldn't surprise me to see it flip, but you got to go with the names here.
Yeah. And the reason is because Tennessee's so good at the run.
Right.
That they're going to do what they did, the other day, that being Cincinnati, and just throw a bunch of, they're going to move Chase around and get him in the slot, get him the freaking ball. Right. Yeah.
At tight end, we have Dallas Goedert versus Washington and Jake Ferguson against New England.
Oh my God. The guy that's hardly getting any targets, but catching what he gets, to the guy that's getting pepper with targets, but catches like 1 out of 10. I give me Goddard just because until Jake Ferguson can catch more than two passes a game, I can't go with him.
Yeah, this is disgusting. I'm not even making a pick. I'm moving on.
Okay.
At flex, we have the newly unsuspended Alvin Kamara at Tampa Bay or versus Tampa Bay, and revenge game Adam Thielen versus Minnesota.
Wow.
Against Chris Olave, same game, Tampa Bay, and Gabe Davis against Miami.
There's so much unknown here. mostly because for two of these players, three of these players, we don't know who the quarterback is going to be. For Gabe Davis, we know who his quarterback is going to be, right?
Right.
It's pretty obvious it's Josh Allen. For Olave and Kamara, it's probably not going to be Carr. I guess it's going to be
Jameis. I would say pretty confidently it's going to be Jameis this week.
Okay, so maybe that means a lot more throwing to Olave. Jameis likes to just glom onto that top guy. So then we move to Carolina. Is the Red Rocket going to play again? If so, I love firing up Thielen.
Yeah, and I think he's going to.
I think he will, because I think they're going to keep Bryce. They're not going to bring back their number one pick too quickly. So then, how's Kamara going to play being out for 3 weeks? Who knows?
Hey, Rob. And
Tampa's not awful, so I don't know who to go here. I honestly don't know. Tyler, you pick.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm making a Tyler prediction right now.
Okay.
Bryce Young, bust.
You think so?
Bust.
Wow. That's a bold prediction.
I have not liked... Bryce Young came out with... was one of those guys that had it between the ears, but didn't have the arm talent. And he has struggled outside the numbers throwing the ball. And that's not an area you can be wildly successful in the NFL and not have those throws in your back pocket.
Well, it seems strange that they struggled to throw the ball the first two games. Then Bryce Young is out, and then all of a sudden the Red Rocket comes in, who is a fine backup, but he's not a starter in this league anymore.
Right.
And he throws for three Bills and has two players score touchdowns and almost had two wide receivers over 100 yards.
Yep.
Because he knows how to get the ball out. He knows how to throw to the hashes or outside the numbers. And yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
So let's assume Red Rocket plays. Ugh. I still got to give the upside to Olave and Davis.
Yep, me too. Especially, again, Kamara coming off the suspension. I think they're going to...
That was a long flex discussion.
Yeah, well, you know. At defense, we have the 49ers for Tubby versus Arizona, which, you know, we've called that a good matchup, but it hasn't been. Right now, Arizona, second worst matchup for defenses.
Really?
Yep. They have defenses against Arizona have scored 4 points below average.
Wow. Okay.
And then for, let's see, who's on the other side? For Cup My Teabags, we have Browns defense versus Baltimore.
You know, I'm not. So the Browns defense has been good, right?
Yeah.
But here's the naysaying, you know, from my last matchup where I wasn't going to play, and I may change that. You got to realize that their three games have been Cincinnati, which was Burrow coming off of missing all of preseason, right?
Yep.
Then Pittsburgh, who has struggled against everybody, and then Tennessee, who can't do anything.
Right.
So it may not be that Cleveland's that good on defense. It may just be that they got the three best AFC teams they could play,
right?
Except for the Jets, to look good on defense. So I don't know. Give me the Niners because they show it against everybody.
Yep, I agree.
All right.
Let's see. Rob, why don't you take here's Tubby's bench?
All right. So Christian Kirk, AJ Dillon, don't touch him. You know, I guess if you're not sure about Kamara, Thomas is great, as far as number of catches. I don't think he's scored yet this year, but, he's going to get, targets in that offense. And Njoku, no. Moore, no. I don't think you want to do Juwan Johnson. So, no, nothing else there.
Yeah, on the flip side, Cut My Teabags has a couple of options. I said how Brian Robinson cannot be in your lineup. Well, good news. You have an option. Khalil Herbert against Denver. We talked about Denver's porous run defense. You have to have him in.
I think you do.
If you're not playing Khalil Herbert this week, you have to drop him. Like, there's no point in having him if you're not playing him this week.
Right.
Let's see. George Pickens has been really good. Now, again, we know that Houston is that Pickens is, you know, the main guy for Pittsburgh, and he's been good. So, but I don't know if I'm even starting him over Gabe Davis this week. So I don't hate having him on the bench. And then let's see.
Well, let me ask you. Let me ask you this, Tyler.
Yeah.
So you've picked up Stroud and Dalton this week.
Mm-hmm.
And we just talked about that we think Dalton is going to play. And you're playing at home against that Minnesota defense, if you can call it that.
Right.
Do you dare, as a Bears fan, not play Justin Fields? And if it's before the weekend, Andy Dalton gets a start, do you dare put the Red Rocket in?
Ugh.
Or even Stroud against Pittsburgh at home, who has thrown for 300 two weeks in a row with the weapons that he has. Justin Fields has not done anything, and you're just hoping beyond hope that this is the week.
Yeah. So I don't think I'm not playing Stroud over Fields. So okay. It becomes, am I going to would I play Red Rocket over Stroud? I think I would.
Okay.
Just based on what he showed last week and based on how bad that Minnesota defense has been. I think you got to play Fields. You got to play Fields. You have to.
And because you drafted him probably, what, sixth round? Something like that, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, if he's not going to step up in the pocket this week, when you have, I mean, we saw what Miami did really well against Denver was bringing the pass rushers upfield and doing those shovel passes to the to the running backs, right? So right. This defense is like a hyper pursue defense where those pass rushers get so far upfield that Fields should just be able to step up and go. It feels like this is the perfect Fields game. And
okay.
you shouldn't have any problems in like the read option game if they're doing any designed runs at all, because they won't be able to stop the running backs. So are they going to over pursue on the running backs? Are they just going to try to contain Fields? I think you have to play Fields. You have to.
All right. Who's winning this thing? Who's up?
This is easy for me. This is T-Bags.
All right. Let me check Blake. Tubby takes it because of the Thielen revenge game.
Gross.
So that's Blake's pick.
The Dice are also taking Tubby.
Wow. I'll even it out, and I will go T. Just because at positions that I picked that he won over, it was pretty even, but I think that he'll score enough on those to pull it out.
All right. And going into our Commissioner's Cup matchup, the Fighting Hedgehogs take the Commissioner's Cup last week. They face off. They are 2-1. They face off against 1-2 Kegerator. Kegerator with maybe his worst fantasy start of all time. And right. We knew why. His running backs are terrible. But
oh God,
we'll get into quarterbacks first. We got Jalen Hurts for Kegerator against Washington, against Justin Herbert against Vegas.
I mean, this is easy. Now, I will say this. Hurts will be fine, because even if he doesn't throw for touchdowns, they're going to get down to the 2-yard line and they're going to do that little thing and he'll get a rushing touchdown or two.
Oh,
he'll be fine.
Rob, you mean the newly coined, the brotherly shove?
Oh, there you go. Okay. That's nice. I like that. For me, this is Justin Herbert. He has more upside, especially against that Vegas defense. So give me Herbert here.
Yep. I agree. At running back, oh boy, this is a paddling.
This is easy. I don't even know you need it.
Yeah, I'm just going to go name. Through them and we'll move on.
Okay, fine.
Kegerator has Damian Pierce versus Pittsburgh. Gross.
Gross.
James Cook versus Miami. Like.
Gross.
Like.
No, gross. Gross.
He'll be fine.
He's been awful.
Hedgehogs, Bijan at Jacksonville and Alexander
Madison.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
At Carolina.
Never mind. I like James Cook. I take that back. I was thinking Dalvin for some reason.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. James Cook, okay.
Yeah, still a paddling.
Yeah, give me Bijan and Madison, sorry.
Yep. At receiver, this is where it gets interesting.
Oh, here we go.
Justin Jefferson at Carolina for Kegerator.
Love.
The Sun God at Green Bay.
Love.
Versus the Hedgehogs, Garrett Wilson versus Kansas City and DK Metcalf at the Giants. Rob, I have a question for you.
Sure.
And it's super gross.
Okay.
If you are the Garrett Wilson manager in redraft and somebody came and offered you Christian Watson, would you take it?
I would toy with it. Who do I have? I've got Garrett Wilson.
You have Garrett Wilson. You'd be giving up Garrett Wilson for Christian Watson.
I probably wouldn't do it now because Christian Watson's just coming back and I want to see him. But if in this Thursday game, he gets loose for a long touchdown and, you know, let's say he goes 3 for 85 and a 60-yard touchdown, God, I got to think about it hard and hard after that, because there's upside there where Garrett Wilson, you're just hoping he gets 4 for 45 and a touchdown. You know what I'm saying?
I think the only reason that I would have for not doing it is it just depends on how long you think the leash is for Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
If you think they're going to be done with Zach Wilson sooner rather than later, then I probably hang on to Garrett Wilson, because anybody is better than Zach Wilson.
Yeah, he's so bad.
Also, I saw
are we going to grade these?
But I saw TikTok that was like talking about like how Joe Namath must have said something in
Flamethrower. Oh yeah, he did. He said he was trash.
Yeah, and when you put Joe Namath's stats, I get it was a different era, up against stats from today's NFL, do you know who he almost perfectly aligns with?
Who?
Zach Wilson.
Well, I will tell you, Joe Namath was not good over his career. Yeah. After he won the Super Bowl, he was not. They didn't win that much.
I think it was something like, you know, Joe Namath wasn't a high completion percentage guy. I think he was like mid-50s. No. Yes. He had like 170 touchdowns to 220 interceptions. You know what Zach Wilson has in his career? Like 17 touchdowns and 22 interceptions. Like, yeah, it's almost perfect. And meanwhile, Joe Namath's out here like, oh, trash. So it's just funny.
Because he had a great team, went to the Super Bowl, and played himself a really good game. And...
right.
And put nylons on.
There you go.
Yeah, he did a nylon commercial where back in the day. Anyway.
Is there any reason we're not taking Jefferson Brown? Jefferson?
Yeah, come on.
All right, at tight end, you have the pits of hell, Kyle Pitts at Jacksonville versus Mark Andrews at Cleveland.
Okay, so people who have Kyle Pitts rejoiced when he had 4 for 45 or whatever it was last week. It's like, oh my God. 12 points. What do I do with this? Or no, 4. No, excuse me, 8 points. That was it.
9 is the correct number.
Okay, whatever. I was close. What do I do with this? I have no clue. I'd like to believe that Mark Andrews would do better, and I'm going to assume that that's the case, but he hasn't been. No.
He hasn't been. Not with the new OC.
No.
Oh, no. This is closer than it should be.
By far, this should be like an easy slam. I'm still going to go Andrews because there's no way I could pick Kyle Pitts.
No, so there's not.
No.
At flex, Kegerator has Jerry Jeudy against Chicago and Roschon Johnson against Denver. We already talked about Khalil Herbert.
Yeah.
Hedgehogs has Isaiah Pacheco at the Jets and what we talked about, Tank Dell versus Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Tank Dell's the big play here. I like Pacheco and Dell more than I like Jeudy and Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Bears are middle of the pack against running back. I think they're going to have a hard time. That's going to be the real running the ball game. It's going to be Bears versus Denver. Right. Give me Pacheco and Dell. Defense, you got the Dolphins at Buffalo or the Bills versus Miami?
God. I mean, Bills are a better defense. Game. Yeah. Bills are a better defense. But Buffalo does do stupid things to turn the ball over. I'm going to edge the Bills though.
I'm going to take the Dolphins.
Okay. That's like, I mean, it's,
yeah.
Am I right? Bills are the better defense, but Bills do stupid things to turn the ball over.
This is completely based on offense for me. I have much more faith in the Dolphins to be able to move the ball, to be able to put points on the board. Whereas, like you said, the Bills ever since Daboll left have struggled a little bit moving
the ball.
They
really have. Yeah. All right.
Rob, which bench do you want here?
Oh, I'll take the hedge. You go ahead and start with Keg.
You're not playing Montgomery even if he's back. I don't think he's going to be. You're not playing Dalvin Cook.
There's the other Cook. About
Dak. Juju, no, absolutely not. Michael Gallup, no. Van Jefferson, no. Why do you have these people on your team? No,
they're awful.
You're not playing any of these teams. No wonder you're 1-2. You're terrible.
Right.
I could just hear Nate now with Hannah.
He's just yelling at everything.
I'm not terrible.
Let's see. You're not playing Dotson. He hasn't done anything. Not Cole Kmet, Burks, no. Algier. I mean, didn't have a good week last week, but and Madison did okay.
There is a 0% chance I'm playing Algier over Madison.
Okay. I mean, I'd think about it. But the rest of this team, no. I'm not doing anything else. No. You're not playing Cousins. You're not playing newly acquired Palmer over anybody. No.
Yeah. I think that we're straight up starters. All right. Yep. Hit me with Blake's pick.
Oh, Blake says. Oh God, I gotta find because he doesn't have them in the order that we did.
All right, well, fine. I'll go first.
Oh, I got it.
Okay.
Kegs over hogs. I hate picking this one. Basically, a coin flip. St. Brown is my personal fave, so I'll lean there.
Terrible. Both me and the dice are taking hogs because Keg Raider's terrible and won't win anything ever.
God. As good as his receivers are, or as bad his running backs are. Tight end. You know what? I got to go hogs. I picked too many of his players.
Right.
So I got to go hogs. Yeah.
All right. That will wrap up week 4. Rob. Oh, I forgot to say who we picked last week. So last week, Rob, you went 3-2. Congrats.
Yeah.
Bad week all around. Blake God. And the dice went 2-3. I went 1-4. So not great.
Ooh, gross. Not
when
good
it came
at all.
To our dollar bets, Rob bet me that Taysom Hill would have more rushing yards than Kendre Miller. That was bad all around. Kendre Miller finished with 34. Taysom was at 12.
Okay.
So won that one. And then Rob, you and I bet Blake that Bijan and Madison would outscore Brian Robinson and Kyren Williams. And that was a paddling. They almost doubled him up. Blake had to pay us both. So I'm up $1.50. You're down 50 cents. Blake's down $1.
Okay. I like that.
So there you go. So any final thoughts on the week before we close out?
No, just I'm glad this year there's a lot worse teams than mine.
Well, yeah,
for now.
Oh, Tubby's setting the bar real low for it to be.
He really is. Yeah. He likes that bar low.
All right. We will see you guys next week. Bop, 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 bada.
Small world!